Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Redemption Higher Dimensions radio broadcast. I'm Linda Shula, the evangelist for the hour, and I praise God you have joined together with me for Sunday's message of anointing, an anointed message the Lord has given us, the anointing press process. I tell you, God is really going to speak to our hearts, and if you find yourself anointing with process, you are in a good place. God is getting ready to bless your life and you. So that's what we're going to be talking about, the anointing press process. Let's go before the throne of grace, and then right after that, we'll get right into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we say thank you for another glorious day to come before your presence with thanksgiving, with praise, enter into your portal of thanksgiving, and into your gates with praise. Lord, we just want to praise you, Lord. Your gates, your courts, God, we want to come to the throne and just worship you, God, the help we need in times of trouble, to strengthen us and to help us, Lord God, to lift one another in prayer and encourage one another, Lord, and mediate and intercede on the behalf of those that stand in need of miracles, deliverance, and healing. Lord, whatever it is, provided, God, over us, God, and let your word come forth and anoint us afresh with your holy anointing, Lord, get the glory out of our lives. Speak to our hearts today, God, and fortify our spirit, increase our anointing, God, destroy for the enemy, to go to work for us, God, and triumph over every situation. Circumstance, God, that tries to rise up against the knowledge of your word and your promises for it. We thank you, Lord, that nay in all these things we're more than conquerors. So God, we love you today. We honor you, Lord, and lift you up high. So Jesus, we pray that you would just take over right now and take us through your word and let us feel your presence and your power to understand the mystery, the revelation of the word that you have revealed to us, Spirit. Thank you, God, and honor you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, and again, thank all of you for tuning into the broadcast. Hey, again, we're talking about the anointing process, the whole anointing in that topic alone. We talk about being anointed, and we talk about the anointing and the anointing all. We're talking about the pureness of God and the process in which he used to sanctify us and purify us for his glory so that we can be effective in the earth. We want to show you some scriptures relating to that. So we talk about the anointing oil. We first have to have the ingredients for the anointing oil. And we're going to go to Exodus chapter 30. And we want to be able to start at verse 22. But before we get there, because of our time, we want to mention, of course, that you know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, which means anointed, the anointed one. And he came with purpose. And so we'll look at a chapter here in Daniel, the book of Daniel as well, so that we can get an understanding about the anointed one. And because Christ is anointed, he has left us the anointing, given us his Holy Spirit, so that we can be effective in the earth and have power, so that the anointing can destroy the yokes off our lives and everyone that come in contact with us, that God lead us to destroy the yokes. So let's look first here, Exodus chapter 30. Let's look at verse 22 first. Exodus verse 22 says, "Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also, take for yourself quality spices." Let's make sure we understand that. "Quality spices, 5 shekels of myrrh, half as much smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of smelling cane, 5 shekels of cassia, according to the shekels of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. You shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an ornament." And we in verse 25, He says an ornament compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be holy, anointing all. With it you shall anoint the tabernacles of the meeting and the ark of the testimony, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand and its utensils, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings with all its utensils, and the laver and its base. You consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whoever touches them must be holy. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing all to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it according to its composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, or whoever puts any of it on an outsider, shall be cut off from his people. Hallelujah. We're going to stop right there because we have to elaborate some and do some commentary on what we just read, because as you can see, the instructions that God gave Moses and putting together and creating this anointing all was for consecration purposes. And he gave them the instructions just like he gave Moses any other instructions when it came to erecting the tabernacle, the temple, or sanctifying the Levitical priesthood for his service. See, the anointing all is a consecration separated for God's holy purposes. So we fast forward here to the New Testament. We have the anointing all. We've been all anointed with the Spirit of God. Christ was anointed, and we hope we have time to go to Joel 2:28. And if we don't, it talks about how Christ was anointed by God because he came to destroy the yoke, to loose the bands of the wickedness. That's the purpose of the anointing. But you don't get the anointing unless you go through the press process. Even with Jesus being crucified, or before he was crucified, going through all of the persecutions and everything that he experienced, was the process for his anointing to flow. In order for your anointing to flow correctly and accurately, you have to go through the anointing press process, because God needs to know and to see what you're made of, to anoint you and also to cleanse you and also to purify you. All of us that call ourselves believers, we must go through that anointing press process, because he has to get all of the things that's unqualified out of us, all of the unholy talk, all of the unholy thoughts. He has to purge us. And he anoints us afresh so that we will be able to do the work of the Lord. So we read all of the ingredients and the instructions that God gave Moses in compounding the anointing oil. Now, when you talk about the process of it in the natural, there's a process that the anointing oil, before it was created, it had to go through. Again, we see that it was used for consecration. And the olive press in ancient times was the way that the anointing oil was created. It was an olive press. And the olive press worked by applying pressure to the oil, to the olive, in order for the oil to flow. Let me say that again. The olive press worked by applying pressure to the olive. And when the pressure was applied, you know what it did? It separated the oil from the water, the vegetation water. You know, vegetables have that liquid water that flows through it. So within the olive oil, there's two mixtures of some water vegetation and some oil in there. But in order for God to use the oil from the olive oil, from the olive, he had to separate the water. Because, see, water and oil don't mix. So when God calls you and God separates you for his purposes, he's separating you from that which is not anointed in whatever facet that may be in your life. So, because that anointing has to be pure. That oil has to be able to flow, just like it did with David and being anointed and him being chosen rather than his brothers. And the oil that would not flow upon any other head but David. When you're anointed by God, the oil will flow on your life. Because you've been through the anointing press process. You've been through the olive press process to separate the oil from the water out of your life. See, the oil, the holy oil of God, has a compound that's consecrated, that's divine. It comes straight from God. It can't even be duplicate. That's why we read in the scripture in Exodus 30 just now, where God said there is no one that shall make a duplicate of it. There is no one that shall make any other oil like it. And it should not be used on any other person outside of who God has called. Hallelujah. Because God was ordaining something. And so if God is ordaining something in your life, there is no one that the holy anointing on your life, it can't be duplicated by anybody else. Because God has set you apart for his glory. There's nothing that can stop you. There's nothing that can hinder the oil from flowing in your life at best for what you called to do. Hallelujah. That's that separation there. Because, again, it doesn't mix. See, it doesn't mix with water. Now we want to look at something else, because in order for the oil to really flow from the olive, see, there was an extraction. There was an extraction. And after the extraction, in order for that oil to really flow from that olive, it had to stay under the pressure for an amount of time. You know, if you look it up and you get some understanding of ancient time, it had to stay up under that pressure from 30 to 40 minutes or more in order for it to really be able to flow and have that extract of that water all the way out of it. It had to stay under that pressure. And that was the way that it was going to be able to form the largest droplet of oil. Yeah, see, it's something about that anointing oil. It's something about the holy oil. The Bible says is the fellowship of the saints is sweet like the oil that runs down on Aaron's head, down his beard, even down to his garment. It's sweet. It's a sweet aroma to God. So when you talk about the pressure being under this olive oil for 30 or 40 minutes, is forming something big in your life. That anointing that's on your life is creating something big, huge in your life. Hallelujah. Because you're under the pressure. You're under the pressure of circumstances, situation, things that you don't understand, things that you don't like that you are experiencing. But you're under the pressure for a reason, because God is getting ready to allow that anointing oil to flow on your life so that you can be effective in the earth, so that you can bring him glory. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, so many people want the anointing, but they don't want to go through the process that it takes to get the anointing. They don't want to go through the anointing press process. Hallelujah. So they go around and they duplicate others, which you call judgment on yourself, because as we read, you know, we're going to have to go back and read that scripture again. Matter of fact, we're going to stop right here. We're going back to Exodus. It's important for us to know what God has said about duplicating the anointing. it's very important that you understand the seriousness of trying to duplicate the anointing. And I'm going to have to say these scriptures out here because time not allowing us to get them all in. But you know what the Bible says in the last days, that people will come and say that they are anointed. They are the anointed one. They are the Christ. See, the Christ means the anointed one. So basically, you know, we don't hear people say all the time, I am Christ, I am Christ, I am Christ. But you hear people say all the time, I'm anointed, I'm anointed, I'm anointed. Well, you got to be very careful, because Jesus said in the last time, you know, many will come in his name saying that they are anointed, they are the Christ. But let's look here. We'll get to that scripture a little bit later. But let's look here, back here in Exodus. I have to reiterate this as the Holy Spirit is leading me to. Now we're back in Exodus chapter 30. I want to read again what Christ says are the consequences of a person being anointed with the anointing all and God has not ordained it. Now let's look at Exodus chapter 30 again, and let's start here at the 29th verse. And this is the instructions he gave Moses. He said, you should consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy. Everything that had contact with this anointing oil that God is telling Moses to create, to compound, to form, if they touch it, they must be holy. You can't touch the anointing of God unless you're holy. You can't do the work of God unless you're holy, unless you're called, unless you're sent. So we look here a little further. It says, and you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may be ministers to me, priests. See, this was like a dedication with this holy anointing all that God told Moses to anoint them with. Verse 31 says, you shall speak to the children of Israel. Here's the warning, saying, this shall be a holy anointing all to me throughout your generation. And holy anointing all throughout their generations, all the way down to us. Now we get go a little further here. Verse 32 says, and it shall not be poured on man's flesh. Because you know what? There's that separation right there. There's that separation from oil, from water. Separation. There's always that separation. That's why we have this word sanctification, because there's a setting apart. And see, that's why the Bible says only the pure heart shall see God. Blessed are the pure heart, for they shall see God. You know why? Because when you allow yourself to be consecrated by God, then he will anoint you. But you have to sanctify that heart first. He got to get into our hearts, because, see, there's things that try to creep back in, and he wants our hearts to be pure as his heart is pure. He wants our thoughts to be pure as his thoughts is pure. And he knows when we are allowing him to sanctify us. Because when we allow him to sanctify us, then he can perfect us to be anointed. So let's look here at verse 32. Again, it should not be poured on man's flesh. Why? Because the flesh is enmity against God, and it cannot please God, the Bible say, in any way. There's no good thing in our flesh. That's why we have to walk in the Spirit, because God is a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. But see, with that anointing, see, the anointing destroys the yoke. It destroys the yoke no matter what comes in your life. See, any kind of burden, any kind of sickness, any kind of sin, anything, the anointing destroys the yoke. You know what? And it keeps on destroying it. Whatever keeps coming up in our lives, the anointing, it keeps on destroying it. It destroys it. It gets rid of it. God works his way in there with the anointing and sanctify us through this process and this journey with him. So he says here, it should not be put on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it. He don't want no duplication. You can't clone the anointing oil of God. That's why he said you have an anointing. You have an anointing that we need not no man to teach us, but the Holy Spirit teaches us. Now, what that means is that he gives us the wisdom, the revelation, the understanding of what he is doing in our lives or around about us. It's the spiritual matter of things that people can't show you what God is saying to you. It comes directly to from God to you. There's anointing about certain situations and circumstances. We encourage one another. We lift up one another. We share the word with one another. But there is a special anointing in the spirit of your situation that only God can reveal to you through his anointing. When that anointing all is upon your life. We go a little further here. Nor shall you make any other like it according to its composition. Don't try to mix it. Don't try to mix it, the anointing. See, you know, let me say this. This is going to be a hard word for a lot of people. The anointing and witchcraft don't mix. The anointing and sorcery don't mix. The anointing and astrology don't mix. None of that stuff mixes with the Holy Spirit, with the anointing of God. Because what you're producing is falsified. What you're producing is a spirit from Satan. So I say that he may know the word, but he can't live it because he hasn't been anointed. No matter what he does, he can never be anointed. So when you get Satan involved and with a believer or with a person trying to be a believer, but they're meddling, and all the witchcraft and the soothsayers and the palm reading and all that stuff, you're just cursing yourself. That's why the disciples turn around and rebuke Simon, the sorcerer, in the book of Acts, who was trying to pay for the anointing, who was trying to pay for the Holy Spirit. We have to come direct with God. We have to come pure with God. Sometimes you have situations in your life that comes up in your thoughts, your mind, or you believe that this was God, and if it wasn't God, trust me, the anointing will destroy that yoke off your life so you can walk in the spirit of truth. But you don't deliberately walk into all of these other cults and soothsayer things, idol worship, going back to be involved with idol worship, with idol gods, idol religion. We don't do that. Because the anointing is strong from God. That's why he says, touch not my anointed, nor do my prophets no harm. Because they are preaching the living word of God. They are living a life consecrated, sanctified by God, separated for the gospel's sake, so they can win souls, so that we can preach and teach this gospel. So again, verse 32, again. And it shall be holy to you. Verse 33. Whoever compounds any like it or whoever puts any of it on an outsider shall be cut off from his people. God will cut you off. You can't anoint the devil. So you got to come with a submitted heart. God knows who's playing tricks in their mind and in their spirit. He knows who's really real. And you playing around with the anointing, you get yourself cut off by God. You don't want to mess with the anointing and God's anointed. So you put the anointing all on anybody, he says here, that's outside, they should be cut off. Anybody that is an outsider. Verse 34 says, and the Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices. Now this is going, we're going to stop right there. Verse 34 is beginning to go into another type of extraction for some other obedience and command from God. But we're going to stop at verse 33. That's the point that God wanted to make. No replica. Don't make a replica of the anointing. You can't do it. Anything that God anoints is holy. So, again, we are talking about today the anointing press. Now, Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, let's go there. I believe we're going to have some time now to get into some other scriptures. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 1, thank God for the Holy Spirit being with us. God for the anointing, God resting upon him. He can go through the word and he can feel power. But we were just basically giving you these scriptures to let you know that Jesus is the Christ. He was the one that was anointed. And the Bible says, as he is, so are we in the earth. So we anointed. He left us the power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 1, verse 16. And it just gives the genealogy of Jesus right here. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ, the Anointed One. Christ is the Anointed One, the Messiah. Oh, yes. See, I want to mention something else about the olive oil here, the process of creating the olive oil. I want to mention something about the olive. Washing the olive was very important. Because what it did is reduce the contamination, you know, from being out in the air, just, you know, accumulation of dust from the air, just being out there. So washing it was very extreme to reduce any type of contaminants. Proper cleansing was important because what? I said earlier, it produced a high quality oil. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 5. Matthew chapter 24, verse 5. We're going to get into some other scriptures. Our time, and it's pretty good right now. Looking pretty good on the time, but I pray to God that we are talking about the anointing press process. Because once you get an understanding what it takes to be anointed by God, then you won't have no problems of going through the press. You just know right on that this is what it takes because God has called you to a specific task that nobody can do but you. He's anointed you to do it. Whatever task God has anointed you to do, that's what you have to do. And that's what you have to allow the anointing of God to destroy the yokes in your life so that you can do what you need to do. We don't need to compare ourselves to anybody because God has called you to do a specific work and nobody else can do it better than you like God has called you to do because he has anointed you to do it. And we're going to look at Joel 2:28 and that talks about that. But right now, Matthew chapter 24. And this is a point I wanted to make. For many will come in my name, I am and with again, if you look at the scripture, and if we look at it in times now, we only had maybe one or two circumstances where somebody was saying they was the Christ. I think that man in years ago, what, like 20-some years ago, and forgot what state it was, that he had all those people hostages and he was saying he was the Messiah, and, you know, the feds had to go in there, and a lot of people lost their lives because that place was really burnt down to the ground. Forgot the name of that particular region, but you all know. So he probably was about the only one that was going, that said, him and a couple of other ones that said they were the Christ. But now, we hear hundreds of thousands of people saying, I am anointed. See, Christ is the anointed one. So when you hear thousands or hundreds of people or wherever you are, and people say, I'm anointed. I'm anointed. All in the spiritual world or the religious world. Not spiritual. Let's say the religious world. A lot of people say, I'm anointed. I'm anointed. Because they're wanting to identify with the Spirit of God to have the flow of the anointing on their lives. When in fact, God has not even called them. Have to be very careful. Because, see, God said that he would send a prophet. God said he would send a prophet that will feed his people with knowledge and truth. And when people don't feed people with understanding, with knowledge, with truth, they're deceivers when they go about things for their own purposes. Now, this anointing oil is very powerful. Now, I want to look at one more scripture in the Old Testament. Let's go to Daniel chapter 9. We got our prompts here now. I'll tell you, time. Look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. It's about the anointed one, Jesus, the Messiah. Hastily read here.